Hello, everyone. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Wine Time with Peggy show. You know what? It's the best way to start a month is with wine with Peggy. And we can't wait because we are going to see Peggy soon. Peggy and her husband, Kurt, run and own LDV Winery in Arizona. Their vineyard itself is in the Chiricahua foothills, out in southeast Arizona. So a little southeast of Tucson, a little southwest of New Mexico, and in a beautiful area that we love. And then their tasting room is up in Scottsdale, Arizona. So you can go to ldvwinery.com. Today, we're going to talk about desserts and wine because the fall season is here. Thanksgiving and holidays are coming. We're going to talk about how their harvest was. And we're going to talk about the term settling. And Peggy, my first thing is, can I tell you what settling is to me?
What is it?
Sitting down with a glass of wine. This is a really good bottle, though, not just the glass. Settling, maybe some dessert would be settling. Some nice music, maybe some nice scenery, a dog or a cat, some friends. That would be settling when you can settle down in the chair, the couch, whatever, cozy, no shoes. Is that settling?
Well, I like that definition of settling. It is, that's the perfect way to enjoy wine is when you're settling down for a great evening with friends or just by yourself and your thoughts. That's perfectly. That's not what it means in the wine business or in winemaking.
But
similar, it's kind of letting the grapes, settle down after the fermentation process. So, after pressing, or fermentation is completed, when you let the wine just settle down. And because, you know, that when you harvest the grapes and you get it through fermentation and then you press them, a lot is happening to it. Mm. You know, they're really put through a lot. And so you want to let gravity basically pull the solids out of the wine, and it settles to the bottom of the tank. So it's pretty much the first clarification in the process of clarifying the wine, the first step to beginning to finish that wine after it is pressed. And you settle down white as well as red grapes. So just based and how long you do it, it's based on the character of the wine that you're making or the type of grapes and what you want to make with that wine. As you know, you love our Petit Sirah, and because
see, but that was what came as soon as I heard the word settling. I'm like, I want the Petit Sirah.
Yeah, exactly. You want to settle down with a Petit Sirah. Well, because of that, we've talked in the past about those grape are really tiny, so they have a high skin to pulp ratio, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're so small, and there's a lot of solids in the juice when after fermentation and so on. So depending on how much character you want in that wine, you leave it in contact with those skins and juice. Of course, that creates the darker color of the wine, but it also increases the tannin level. How long you keep it in contact with it. But, some wineries use an actual paper filter and send the wine through a filter to get those solids out. And of course, you know, we don't do that. We let it happen naturally with gravity. That's settling.
Gravity is happening to me, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know it, right? As you continue to settle as we age.
You know, I want to talk to you about bitsies. I call them bitsies, right? You talk about the bitsies at the end. Okay, so a follow-up from last. And by the way, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I got all excited about settling, and I'm all jumpy in my seat, but I actually just want to chill out on the couch with wine. You were talking about Grenache the last time.
Right.
Okay. And then you said there's the one that comes from Spain and they had a different term. And I said, I think we have a bottle of it where we
Garnacha?
were.
Garnacha?
Garnacha. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm looking it up right now because it just dawned on me. I need to do a follow-up with you on this wine because Nancy and I had that wine that day. And I took a photo of the bottle and I'm going to send it to you. It was
Fabulous.
called Garnacha. Yep. It was Tres Picos from Borsal or something. Something you'll understand more than me. But anyway, Three Peaks. It's Three Peaks wine.
Okay.
And it was a 2001.
Wow. Okay. An older wine.
Yeah. And that's why I photographed it. I thought, ooh, Peggy would be impressed with this. And then Nancy and I are going, that's pretty aged, right?
Right.
So and now I have questions. And I should have prepared you, but I just, so you were talking about paper filters. Well, here's what
Right.
happened. I got excited. Nancy and I got excited after our conversation with you going, we've got this wine. Let's have this wine tonight, right? And of course, we're on Eastern time when we were doing this. So otherwise, you would have got a call in the, you know, too late. No, but anyway, go to open the wine, corked. The cork crumbles. No matter what I
Okay.
did, I'm not getting the cork out. So
Okay.
eventually, you know, the cork goes down. So what does Lisa, and I want to know what to do with this if you have any tips on this, but I've
Right.
used screwdrivers you know, you can put a screwdriver and pliers before, but this
Right.
was a little too late. I didn't get all my tools.
Right.
Well, come to the rescue coffee filters, which
Right,
we've
right,
done
right, right.
before.
No, I've
And I sat there pouring wine through coffee filters,
Yeah.
but the color of this was really interesting. It was almost like a brownish,
Tawny.
reddish. Yeah,
Yep.
tawny. Yes, that's the word. I knew you'd know. And we're sitting there going, okay, is it okay to drink? And so the beginning, we let it breathe. I have to tell you, it was pretty darn good.
Good. Good. Yeah, I mean, as a wine will age, obviously the cork got dried out. So it was good that you drank that wine because it was on its
Right. Bye
probably
bye.
way out.
I had a funny feeling because at the beginning, I was like, I don't know. And then all
Yeah.
of a sudden, we're like, yeah, we like this. It's okay. It
Right.
took a while.
Right. Look, with those kind of corks, what I do is push it in and then, instead of trying to
That's what
keep
Nancy
getting it
said.
out,
Nancy
because
said, I'll just push it in, get
push
on
it
with
in.
it.
Yeah, just push it in. And then, like you said, you sent it through a filter and that's perfectly fine. It'll get all the little sediment and any cork that might have splintered off out of that. And, yeah, I'm glad you let it breathe a little bit before you aged it,
Yeah,
but
it needed it.
as wines age, they will get a tawny kind of color to them, particularly a Grenache or a Garnacha, Pinot Noir, will change in color. It might even be a little cloudy. I don't know if you had any cloudiness in the wine as, but yeah, I mean, if you liked it, great.
It wasn't off. You
Good.
know what I mean? Like
You
I
would
can
have
tell.
known. You would
Yeah,
have known.
you know when it's off in the beginning. I took a sip and I was like, it needs to breathe. And
Yeah.
so we let it out. I mean, it was in glasses and we just let it there because I had to take all the floaters out. So this is interesting because I just wanted to follow up on our last conversation about Grenache, but I didn't know how long we could keep wine for.
Well, and a Grenache, and you don't. It's hit or miss, but that was in the bottle at least 13 years. So,
Yeah.
that's for a medium-bodied red. That's quite a while. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's awesome.
Aren't you glad you didn't get the midnight phone call?
I would have accepted
And she would have been, I'm like, Peggy, I'm pouring wine through a
it.
coffee filter. That's okay. That's
We've
it.
done it. We've done it too.
Yay.
So no worries. You're all good.
At least I didn't put ice in it. All right.
Right.
So there you
Right.
go. All right. So, settling. We learned about settling today and paper filters do work.
Yep.
Harvest. Tell us about harvest. That was something that
Oh
was
my
exciting.
gosh.
We want to hear.
Yes. Harvest, vintage 2023 is in the books. So we had a good harvest. Remember earlier in the season, we had that late freeze that we really it got down to 20 degrees right after, I think it was right after bud break in April. And so we are really nervous if we were going to have a halfway decent harvest this year. So overall, we have a good harvest. The quality, in terms of quantity, we have a good harvest. Our vignette is a little bit low on how much we picked because of that freeze that we had. But at least we got some. You know, we were worried that we were going to lose all of our vignette, which is our white wine grape. But, everything came in a nice quantity, came in on time, like we typically, the quality of the fruit is outstanding, which is really exciting.
That's
so
exciting.
The quality of the Grenache and the Petite Syrah and the Syrah is really outstanding. So, you know, we're excited about this vintage. I think, well, we won't know for three or four years what we really have, but everything looks good. We were not able to do a co-ferment, you know, a few years ago, and we've talked about in the past what co-ferment means. It's usually how we make a co-ferment is Syrah with our Viognier. And it only happens when the Viognier and the Syrah, we can harvest at similar times. And so we weren't able to do that this year. And we don't have any late harvest, so we can't make a dessert wine like we're going to talk about today. So the dessert wine we have on the market is all we're going to have for quite a while.
Oh, bet everybody go get it.
Yeah.
Go get
and
it.
It's
go get
pretty
it.
Pretty awesome. But okay. I think the quality is, I'd rate it a 10 out of 10 and the quantity about a 4 out of 10 in terms of how it compares to previous years. So we're excited about it.
That's good. Now, but quantity is still down a little bit.
Yeah, quantity is down, but everything is harvested. Everything
so it's
is
quality over quantity.
Yeah, exactly. And everything's in the winery. We pressed yesterday with the last of our Petite Syrah, and so it's settling. The last of our Petite Syrah is settling in the winery before we then put it in their final resting space spots.
I want to go talk to it and say, come on, baby. Do you ever talk to the wine? Do you like, come on, you're going to do the right things for us. Yep.
So, exactly.
Okay. So now that you've got this, when you bottle this, fine, when it gets there, so you said it's going to wait 3 years. Is the year of when you harvested, is that what goes on the label?
Good question. Everyone, a lot of people don't know that, but yes, that is the vintage date. So when you see a 19 or 2023, or in your case with that Grenache 2001, it's when those Grenache grapes were actually harvested at the winery.
Okay. So the wine is a little bit younger than what I was going like, oh my gosh, you know? Okay. So, all right.
Yeah. Wow. So this will be all of our wines will have 2023 on them. Now, if you don't see a date on it, that means it's a non-vintage, and so that it might be a blend of multiple grapes and can be a blend from grapes from a previous season mixed with current 2023 or whatever it might be. But just like with champagne, you have a non-vintage champagne or vintage champagnes. That means the dates are on them.
And a lot of times are those become more table wine kind of things?
No, it's just a style, you know, and what the winemaker is making and what they're sharing with you information wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then dessert wine, I do have a question on this because they tend to be sweeter, right? So there's a lot of sweet wines out there and a lot of people like, you know, I told you that one tasting we went to, they were like, oh, you're female, so here you are. Here's your sweet wine. And I'm like, I want to go this way. You know, they just kind of go that way. So a sweet wine is not necessarily a dessert wine, or are they? Like, can they be the
correct.
Same?
Correct. Correct. That is correct. Sweet wines, that is how you make, it's the style of winemaking that the winemaker is doing. And so if they leave, like, as I've said at LDV Winery, we ferment down to zero residual sugar. So there is no longer any sugar left in our juice when we begin that winemaking process. So
our doctors all like that.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of style of winemaking might want to leave some residual sugar in those grapes. So they may ferment down to 2% or 3% or whatever it might be and have a natural sweetness to the wine. Or they can add some kind of sweetening to the wine to bring up. We don't make those kinds of sweet wines. That doesn't make it a dessert wine, because you can have a dessert wine that is dry or sweet, depending on the type of dessert wine that you have. So
So like a port's not always sweet to me. Depends.
Correct. A port. So when you're thinking about a dessert wine, and I would say there's, you know, there's maybe six or seven kinds of dessert wines that you can choose from. So you've heard of ice wine.
Yes,
right?
I've had, yes.
So that's when, like Canada makes a lot of ice wines. So it's when you let your grapes freeze on the vine at getting down to 20 degrees Fahrenheit, and you actually harvest the frozen grapes and send it through the fermentation process and so on as they're frozen. So we probably would not be able to make an ice wine ever in Arizona, but Canada, sometimes
in
New York. You've
got to think that's got to be hell to do.
Oh gosh, yes. It would be hard.
To go out in the snow. I mean, I just know what baby I am going out in the snow and the ice and falling down to harvest in the snow.
Oh gosh. And it doesn't happen all the time. So that's why the cost of ice wines are so high. It's very, and you might miss that time frame to pick it. And then you don't have an ice wine.
Or you just don't want to go out there. You say, this year.
It's like, to hell with it.
I'm having a snow day.
Yes, exactly. So ice wine is considered a dessert wine. And then you have fortified wines. So, and they can be both dry and sweet. And so a port, for example, is a fortified wine. It's only a port comes from the Douro region of Portugal. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can actually call it a port, is from that region. But it's a fortified wine. And over time, depending on how long it's aged, if it's a 10-year-old port or a tawny port, it just has these really rich flavors. Think of chocolate covered cherries. A wonderful port, I think, brings out those kind of flavors, or you pair it with that kind of dessert would be awesome.
That's what Nancy used to do, these fondues. I think we talked about this once on the show, where she'd do chocolate sauce in the fondue pot with a little rum in it, and you dip angel food cake in there and like mandarin oranges and strawberries. And now I'm thinking this sounds like a good fall dessert idea too.
Right.
But brownies, you know, like chocolate cake. Can we that can be year round. Can't we take
year round?
I know we're talking fall, but honestly,
so
this is good.
Yeah. So, you know, you've also heard of sherry. Which is another Spanish style wine. That's actually a dessert wine made out of white grapes. Usually you think of only red grapes, but, and sherry, Spanish sherry has its, you fortify it with natural grape spirits. So it's not fortified with another alcohol or liquor. And think of sherry has this nutty quality to it. So if you have something toffee, like a toffee bread pudding or something like that, beautiful with a sherry, because of those nutty notes in the sherry, and the toffee and the dessert would be a perfect pairing.
Sherry was a big deal when we lived in England. They had sherry.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They had sherry in the afternoon as part of high tea or whatever tea time. Some, it was usually the older ladies sitting there going,
having
you girls
their sherry.
Have your tea. I'm having my sherry, and I'm going, I want on the sherry side. You know, that was more fun when I was still a kid. But in New Mexico, there's a lot of Spanish history.
Right.
In New Mexico, we were at the Inn of the Governors, and they had sherry hour, and they had different tastings. Some people had tea, and they would serve the New Mexico cookie, which is a bizcochito. So it's kind of like an Italian cookie. You can understand this. but it has anise in it.
Oh,
And
sure.
so it's
Okay.
almost like a shortbread with anise. I've got the recipe. It's really good. So it goes well with
Beautiful.
tea and lemon, but it's better with sherry. I'm just
Well,
saying.
yeah, those ladies who like they have their sherry in the afternoon are probably having it in with some bread pudding or something like that. A beautiful pairing. You know, and then you have Madeira. I'm sure you've heard of Madeira, which is comes from the Madeira Island off from Portugal. Now that is fortified with brandy. And you know, when we are talking about that 2001 Grenache and the color of it, probably came from some oxidization that occurred over time. And so Madeira is oxidized and it's actually heated too as part of the winemaking process. And it creates the beautiful wine that's wonderful with kind of has a dried fruit kind of flavor to it. And so if you get a fruit cake for Christmas, you might want to pair it with a Madeira. It's just a perfect pairing, or some dried fruit would be great with Madeira. But that's considered a dessert wine.
I've had it over the holidays, I think, with fruitcake. Now that I think of it, I think that's the only time certain, people have that as a end of day. What would you say is the perfect dessert wine from LDV?
We have what's called the epilogue, and that is the only dessert wine that we make. And it's 18% alcohol. So a lot of times dessert wines are higher in alcohol because of the sugar content, right? And we kept, I think it was 3%, no, 6% residual sugar, I believe, on that. And we picked that. It's 100% Petit Sirah, which is unusual to do a dessert wine out of. And so we let the Petit Sirah hang out in the vineyard until we had about 27 bricks, which is we typically pick Petit Sirah at 25 or so bricks, which is the measure of the sugar in the grapes. So we let it sit out there. We fermented it just like we would ferment a Petit Sirah, but it was at higher bricks, 4%. I think we got it down to 4%. I said 6 earlier, and then we aged it almost 4 or 5 years, I think. We settled that wine,
This
the
is going to be the new
epilogue.
term on this show forever now.
So we settled it because we wanted it about 12% alcohol at that time, and then we fortified it. And we fortified it with grape spirits, which is the only way in Arizona that we're able to fortify. We can't fortify with brandy or anything like that. It's illegal. So, it
Well,
is.
then I think you should do it.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You want me to get in trouble? Are you going to
I'm just
visit
kidding.
me in federal prison?
No, you're not allowed. You're not allowed. I'll bring you fruitcake. No, and I'll soak it for you.
Yeah. However, those grape spirits that we fortify it with, it's 195 proof, you know, percent alcohol.
Are you
So
kidding me?
it's very high alcohol. And, you know, how they do that, how do they fortify? And I'm sure you know this, but it's just really concentrating the distilling down the grape juice till it is just clear alcohol. And that's how you're able to get it that high. So it doesn't add any flavor or color to the Petit Sirah in this case, our epilogue, but it does add the zing. So this is the kind of wine that you sip. It's not a
Yeah,
guzzler.
don't know.
And you sip it, you're having a great time. The noise level goes high. You're getting very animated until you try to stand up. And then you go, whoa,
Who knew?
that epilogue kicked in.
It's the epilogue. It's a good wine for dating.
Yes, exactly.
Definitely.
Well, we call it the baby maker. So,
Oh,
you
okay. Now, see, I was getting close, but I was going to say, yeah, that's the kind of wine that if you give Nancy and I, we'll do anything.
yeah, you'll be dancing on the tables, but
You know
having a
that
good time.
Seinfeld episode where you give Elaine anything and she'll tell all the
All the
secrets?
stories.
You give her some wine and off she goes. This is the wine to open up the vault, you
Yeah,
know?
the secrets come out.
Oh my gosh. Well, but this is supposed to be the fun thing, you know?
Right. But it's a wonderful wine. It's one of my favorites, but unfortunately we just can't make it very often because of, you know, the grapes have to be at a perfect time and a perfect place for us to make that.
Well, a lot of people I know don't, you know, they'll keep that bottle around for a little while, right?
Yeah,
So,
it's an ageable. Yep.
Okay, so if you've opened it,
right?
How, like, and it's a dessert wine. What do you? Yeah, once you open it, she just finished. Because normally the bottles are even smaller, depending, right?
Correct. They're smaller because of the higher alcohol content on them.
Okay.
No, you need to drink it like everything else. You need to drink those wines.
Right. I can hear Nancy upstairs going, "Drink it, drink it."
Yeah, just drink it. You know, it'll start. You know, like I've said in the past, put the cork back in it as best you can and then put it in the refrigerator, as soon as you open it or after you've done for the evening and come back to it the next night and let it come to room temperature or to the right temperature after you pull it out of the refrigerator and let it breathe. But, yeah, I mean, drink your wine. I
We
mean,
do. You know,
yeah.
we've getting quite a collection of wine corks.
Oh.
Bottle stoppers, I mean, wine, what you know, the
Oh,
little,
to protect it, yeah.
People keep giving them to us. I don't know if they know or something. And I don't know if it's a nudge to Nancy and I to stop drinking so much wine, but it's not going to happen. But we
Yeah.
have a collection. So when we come see you, we'll do a tasting. I need to take a photo of
Of all.
LGD wine with our collection.
Very good.
I
Yes,
like
yes,
this.
yes. Yep,
I
put a
like
cork
this.
in it. Yep,
Yes,
yep, yep.
I know. I know. That's what Nancy keeps telling me. So some tips. I know we've got a great write-up from Peggy, everyone,
Right.
that you'll have the link up on the site on blendradioandtv.com. But the links are all in the show notes. Also, the links to ldvwinery.com. So you talk
Right.
about some tips on how to choose what. Yeah,
Okay.
let's go there.
Overall, the general rule, the wine should be sweeter than the food you're going to pair it with. So, you know, we've always talked about balancing the wine with the food that you're going to have. But in this case, you don't want a really sweet wine with a really sweet dessert. So kind of think about that before. And all of the different kinds of dessert wines, you can kind of get a feel for how much sugar is in those, and your wine expert at the store will be able to help you if you know what the dessert is you want to serve, what the best dessert wine would be with it. But again, acidity, balancing the acidity is also very important. You want enough acidity to with a sweetness, because you need that acidity in the wine to cut through some of the sweetness. But so, I mean, when you're thinking about fall, there's all kinds of wonderful things that you make. I mean, our pear and apple trees are just, we should be picking a lot of apples and pears coming here. And I have a lot of fun making all kinds of fall desserts with them.
Apple pie is like one of the, so yeah, I mean, because we're even thinking this is going to be perfect for Thanksgiving time.
Correct.
You know, going into Christmas and all of that. But epilogue, what would you pair epilogue with?
Epilogue is a chocolate, you know, so chocolate.
I'm with you.
Yeah. It's dessert by itself, too. All by itself. It just makes a wonderful after dinner kind of enjoyment by itself. But
I know people do a lot of pumpkin pie, too, at this time of year.
Pumpkin pie. Okay, that's perfect. You want a late harvest wine. We didn't talk about late harvest, but that is a type of dessert wine, and you would actually see it called a late harvest Zinfandel or a late harvest, whatever it might be. It can be made out of different kinds of grapes, but it's basically when the vintner leaves the grapes on the vine as long as they can, and it begins to create, concentrates the sugars basically in those grapes. It usually occurs in cooler temperature wine growing regions. And, you know, the grapes begin to create a noble, it's called noble rot. when the grapes get botrytis, which is a fungus on the grapes because they it weakens the skin. But you makes it, it kind of begins to causes some dehydration of the grapes, and so you might have heard of French sauternes are a type of also dessert wine that's wonderful, perfect pairing for apple pie. So is a French sauterne, which comes out of the Bordeaux region of France. And it's high acid. And so it really creates this fruity, honey kind of notes to it that
I like that.
And just perfect with apple pie, which has, apples have a natural acidity to it. So, yeah, perfect pairing. Sauterne with apple pie. And
I would think cheese can get put in this, like a cheese board too, with a dessert wine. I mean, that's what, you know, dessert time would come around in a restaurant. I'd always go like, I want the cheese board and like a wine. Like when you're talking about the honey notes, to me, that goes to cheese for me. Like,
with a, yes, absolutely. It'd be beautiful with fruit and cheese, you know, on your, on your board. Remember we've talked about creating a charcuterie board. And that's a little bit different than if you're trying to create a dessert board to go, a cheese board to go with a dessert wine, because you'd probably have more dried fruit on it. You would not have charcuterie, the meats on the board. You'd have dried fruits. You'd have maybe a little bit of
that sounds good though.
Yeah, berry jam. You could have some dark chocolate. But a sauterne or a sherry or even a late harvest, depending on what you put on that board, would be great. Yeah.
This is sounding fun. Okay. So I know we're talking about desserts, but I think I've told you this before, but when we first got back to the States and we had our first Thanksgiving, I went into shock about what was being served, and they had the yam thing
with
marshmallows, and I thought it was cheese.
Yeah.
And I had a really, because at first I thought, well, why are they putting melted cheese with this? Doesn't make sense. But I thought, I'll eat anything with cheese. I'll do anything for cheese and wine, period. And so I thought, well, you know, whatever is going on, at least I got the cheese, and it turned out to be marshmallows. And I just, it was one of those faces of shock that you're not supposed to do in public. And I did. It was embarrassing, but I still don't understand why this is happening. The green bean salad, I'm still trying to understand that, but that's okay. But please don't use canned beans. Don't do it. Stop it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. But the, and don't use the canned red cranberry thing with the ridges on it. No. Anyway, sorry, just saying. But this stuff, what would you do? How do people pair wine with that? I mean, and why are we doing that?
Right. No, and I have to do it on my Thanksgiving table because that's tradition. But I make it from, you know, fresh yams, and I do put the marshmallows on it. It's just, I don't eat that, but my family
people do.
Members,
they like it. They like it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying for me, it's
you
just
can't
my
have
own
Thanksgiving
personal thing.
Without it. I do a wonderful fresh cranberry salsa, which I like better than that canned stuff, but I always have to serve the canned stuff too, because
people have, it's a tradition.
It's a tradition.
And people do like canned green beans.
Yep.
There's something, you know what? And nobody, and if it's tradition and it's something that people wait for all year, I say have at it, man. And it's like everybody's got their own taste of wine, their own taste of music. So I'm not knocking it. But how do you pair wine to something like that? That's got to be the weirdest, hardest thing to do.
Correct. It is. Well, Thanksgiving is, because there's so many different flavors on the Thanksgiving table, from a beautiful roast turkey potentially with stuffing. Ooh. And who knows how the stuffing is made, because you can make it so many different ways. And then all of those widdums, that from the yams to the mashed potatoes and gravy and green bean casserole and so on. So I always say pick a, you can do a sparkling, with Thanksgiving, like a sparkling rosé potentially, or, something with a little bit of residual sugar. So not a totally dry, Sparkling wine would be beautiful. Like there's a lot of times there's a out of Northern California, a sparkling Pinot Noir that comes out right around
Ooh.
Thanksgiving that would be beautiful with Thanksgiving dinner because it can navigate all those different flavors. So would a Pinot Noir. So like a Pinot Noir, not necessarily a French Burgundy Pinot Noir, but a a Northwest or California Pinot Noir that is a little bit heartier, has a little bit of smokiness to it, can also navigate all of those various flavors. Those would be my
I'm
two,
thirsty.
or a Grenache, like that Garnacha that you had, a Grenache, like our Grenache would be beautiful with Thanksgiving dinner because it can navigate those different flavors because it's a little bit bolder, fuller bodied
Can you believe
Grenache.
we're just talking about Thanksgiving right now?
I know, where'd the year go?
But people do plan their Thanksgiving early.
They
You
do.
know,
They do.
it's a smart thing to do because things go, interesting
Yep.
and, in
Yep.
Thanksgiving. But,
I've already had the family Zoom calls and the chats on who's hosting Thanksgiving this year and where we're
and
going and all that kind of
who's
stuff.
cooking and who's
Yep.
doing it? Yep. And who's bringing this? And yep. I
Yeah.
think it's fun.
It is. It
Honestly,
is.
it
It's
is
all
part of it. And don't get stressed out. Just drink wine and put on music.
right. And as I always say, they don't know what you're missing from, so don't tell them if you don't get it all
Exactly.
done.
And oh, and the other part I wanted to bring up too, we're talking about dessert. So we've got the wines, we've got the food, we got, cake. I'm in for the epilogue. Number one,
Yeah.
if anyone's arguing in the family, give them some epilogue.
There you go. Things will
Just give them
smooth
that.
over.
Yeah,
Yep.
that's it. Just everybody leave after that. Have that part and everybody leave happy and smiling, right? Dessert and wine, musical choice. What would be yours? So you've got chocolate, you've got epilogue. Okay. I want a chocolate lava cake, like
Oh,
that
yeah.
dark chocolate or a dark chocolate souffle.
And I think, oh, dark chocolate souffle would be beautiful. And I think I don't know if I've shared my recipe for a flourless chocolate tort with
Oh, I think.
ganache frosting on
Ooh.
it. That goes beautiful with a petit sirah. It's
Ooh.
made for our petit sirah, but yeah, that's beautiful. I would choose a bluesy kind of music to
When
go
you
with.
said about epilogue, though, my mind went to Barry White.
Yeah,
That
okay,
or Shaft or Shaft.
that would do it. Yep,
You can
and
play
we're
some
in
Shaft.
that dance
Yeah.
on the table kind of or baby making mood.
That's it. Yeah, it can't be too quiet and too respectful. It's got to have a little spice to it, is basically what you're saying. I love this. Well,
Exactly.
this is a perfect way to close the show today. We're settling and then getting completely unsettled. That's it.
Yes.
I love it. And then resettled again. All right. So, it's funny
Perfect.
because just before this, I did an interview that detoured into history and the history of smoking.
Oh.
At the end of it all, everybody, listen
Yeah.
to that interview.
Oh, how funny.
I know. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Go to ldvwinery.com. Oh, online shipping. Is it
Yes, we
cooling?
sh
Is
October
ooh.
is October we
Oh.
can ship. The temperatures are below the 3 digits, so we're getting to a point where we're able to ship in October. So please get
Yes.
online and order some wine. We have some new ones
Yes.
coming out in October too. So, yeah,
Okay,
exciting.
awesome. And don't wait until the day before Thanksgiving. Like,
Correct. Correct.
do
Yep.
not wait. Isn't there like a line, a cutoff date for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New
Yeah,
Year's?
give yourself a week beforehand. And remember, don't just buy one bottle to serve at Thanksgiving. It
What?
gets several bottles of the wine so that everyone can enjoy a couple glasses of that wine during dinner or after dinner. So don't chintz on the number of bottles you buy.
You shouldn't, because everybody needs the warm-up glass. Then
Yes.
there's the settling in. Okay,
Yes,
you've got the
exactly.
jitters off of seeing so and so again, or maybe it's like yippee excited, and
Yep.
then you sit down at the table, and then I'm going to say three. I know the doctor's not listening,
Yep.
but three because that you need to settle into that conversation and go, I got my wine, I can do it. I can
Right.
make this happen and have a good time. The third
Right.
one, maybe it's the dessert wine. I don't
Yeah.
know. Maybe that might be the fourth. Uh-oh. I might have to have my own case by the time
Yeah,
we're
so
done with this. That's starting to sound good to me.
Hopefully you take a nap on the couch during the football game.
Then there's wine for the leftovers. So
right.
I don't believe in this leftovers not having wine and making that another like fun meal. I'm just saying.
Right. Right.
You know, but you know, I like sandwiches too. So there you go. So everyone, LDVWinery.com. The links are in the show notes, Peggy's links. And then whatever recipes I know, you know, we've got so many recipes from, Peggy and also her tips on charcuterie boards. I'm going to link that in there too. So that,
Perfect.
everyone has it for, because it's that season. So we'll get that out to everyone. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you, Peggy. Thank you, listeners, as always.